Good morning. I feel like a high school teacher or something. Good morning, class. All right, let's begin. Please turn to Psalm 118. This is our Bible class portion of the service. And this is week 13 of the Psalms class, which actually means it's the last week. We're going to keep teaching the Bible, just something else and not me. So we did the Word of God Psalms last week, and we are doing Thanksgiving Psalms today. That's going to be our theme, but before we start reading here, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're so grateful to be here this morning, to worship You, to be together as Your church. You are awesome. We love that we get to pray to You, that we get to learn about You, that we get to have a relationship with You, and I pray that we will always be grateful for that. Help us today, help our hearts to receive Your word, to worship You with gladness, and just bless this whole service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and He answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look and triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give You thanks, for You answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and He has made His light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. What a great psalm of thanksgiving. It starts and ends with a good memory scripture. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Which, by the way, is repeated elsewhere. We saw it in Psalm 107 that we went through 2 weeks ago. Same exact phrase. I guess it was a chorus. But, you know, that's what it's all about. Thanksgiving is remembering how good God is. It's that simple. It can be very profound, but it's not complicated. Thinking about His great love that endures forever. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Just looking at different aspects of hopefully how that manifests itself. And I want you to ask yourself as we're doing this class, am I a grateful person? What are you grateful for? I gave you homework last week. I hope you did it. 100 things to be grateful for. We're going to talk about that later. But this is key to our relationship with God. In fact, I dare say you can't have a good relationship with God without gratitude. It's impossible. But there's a very joyful tone to this psalm. And I think it's obvious if we think about it that gratitude leads to joy. Verse 15 says, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Verse 21, which says, I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You've become my salvation. Or 24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We probably all have that one memorized, even if we didn't know it was in the Bible. We sing it. And, you know, gratitude should lead to joy. So, are you joyful? If you're not, then perhaps you're not grateful. If you're unhappy, discouraged, you don't feel close to God, maybe you should check your gratitude. Maybe you should consciously make an effort to think about all the things God has done for you. Because it'll give you perspective, and it may very well change how you feel while you're at it. And you will get joyful and encouraged, and you will get closer to God. Verse 5 says, in my anguish I cried to the Lord, and He answered by setting me free. And we see a similar thing in verse 21 again. I will give you thanks for you answered me. As we read some of these psalms, we will see that common theme in many of them. Answered prayer. I mean, isn't that great? When you pray something and God answers, He does what you ask. I make it a point to remind my kids when that happens, when they pray. And by the way, if my kids pray for snow, we're in trouble. Because it seemed like every time they did this winter, we had snow. I'm going to tell them not to stop doing that. But it's great. It leads to joy. And you know, I want them to, you know, realize, you know, not just tell them about praying, but remind them, hey, you need to thank God because He answered your prayer. It's good to grow up with that conviction. But it's so encouraging. And it leads to confidence. Look in verse 6. It says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. I mean, when you remember God is with you, when you have gratitude, when you're thinking about all the things that God has done for you already, how can you not be confident? You can walk around knowing that you're protected, that God is with you, that whatever happens, He allowed, and it's going to work out for the good, even if you don't understand it at the time. And that's what gratitude does. Look in Psalm 30. Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of His. Praise His holy name. For His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction and my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks forever. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. That could be another memory scripture. And this psalm, I told you we'd see a lot of these themes repeated, answered prayers. But it's specifically talking about prayers in distress that were answered. Prayers for mercy, laments, that we studied about 3 weeks ago, that were prayers that were answered. You know, when I was studying out the laments for the class that we did, one of the things I looked at was these rituals of lamentation that was a custom that they did back in that time. You know, they would tear their clothes. They would wear sackcloth, generally black-colored sackcloth. They would prostrate themselves. They would put ashes on their head and sit in the dust. They would shave their heads and beard, which was otherwise considered not a very good thing to do. They would take their shoes off. They would take off all their ornaments. They wouldn't wear any perfume. That'd be kind of like not wearing deodorant today. They would compose these laments, and they would chant them. And they even had professionals that they hired to come to funerals and events of lamentation and just mourn and just be professional people that cried. And they had all these lamentation rituals. They even had communal rituals where everybody would fast. And some of the above practices that I mentioned would be done in mass. Many people would do it at the same time. The Book of Lamentations as a whole, it's a ritual text of mourning, specifically about the fall of Jerusalem. But, you know, they also had rituals about the reversal of mourning, you know, which is what we're talking about here. They had dancing, music. They would wear festive, colorful garments. They had feasts. They would clean up. Listen to this from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And that's again an excerpt from Psalm 61, from Isaiah 61. And it talks about all these different rituals, both the lamentation and the reversal of it into the dancing and the garments and the festivity. And we studied out the laments before, but I mention it now because if we make it a point to express our despair, and we should, if we make it a point to ask God to help us in our time of need, we should also make a big deal out of our deliverance. I mean, we celebrate birthdays and other special occasions, and that's great. Why not celebrate what God has done? Throw God a party. How's that? And we should cry out, but we should also remember how God responded and remember to express it. And that's what these songs are all about. Many of us have prayer lists, and we talked about that. And many of us highlight them as God answers them. And that way you can see how God has answered your prayers, and we keep them. Because it's encouraging to see. Because sometimes we pray and pray and pray for the things we need, and God answers it, and then we stop praying about it, and we forget what God has done, how God has responded to our prayers. Maybe you can keep that and put it on a wall and go through it from time to time. Consolidate it into an answered prayer list. I mean, we have prayer lists. We should have gratitude lists. That's part of what the homework was all about. But I want to read some portions of Psalm 18 here. It's pretty long, so I'm just going to read pieces of it. And I'm going to read the superscript because it's important as well. And it says, for the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Verse 16. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Verse 28. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as dust borne on the wind. I poured them out like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. Foreigners cringe before me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from the strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior.
Talk about confidence. Of course, David was a warrior, so he, you know, these things were literally what happened, what he was thanking God for. But we are in a spiritual war. And we can do the same with God. And he's very specific in his expressions of deliverance and what happened and what God did. And seeing how a song of lament, when he was in distress, when in the middle of the battle and he was being pushed back and he cried out, it became a song of gratitude. And he was confident because he knew God would continue to deliver him. And we should be the same. Look in Psalm 116. I hope this is encouraging. It's a general idea. We're going to see more answered prayers here. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. Sound familiar? The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me! The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, He saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I said, I'm greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Your servant. I am Your servant, the son of Your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to You and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in Your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Again, answered prayer. Motivation to keep praying, as in verse 2, because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. I hope answered prayers motivate you the same, to keep praying. Verse 7, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Peace comes from gratitude. Because it reminds us that God has been and will continue to be good to us, and we have nothing to worry about. If you're not at peace, again, check your gratitude. Think about what God has done. I think that's a remedy for a lot of things. When you're not feeling right, just file that for when you need it. Verse 12, how can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? That's another thing gratitude does. It motivates us to want to repay. Not that we can. Not that we can earn anything from God. And Richard talks to us a lot about that. But we do serve God. We do want to do His will because we're grateful. It talks about keeping your vows. It's really a sermon for another time, but do keep your vows if you make them. I used to do that a lot. The vowing part, not the keeping the vows part. Before I was a Christian, and God, if you do this, I'll go to church every week, and I don't know, have any of you ever done that? Okay, I'm not the only one. So I'm kind of normal. But be careful with your vows, but do keep them. And it talks about thank offerings. I was kind of convicted about this one. A while back, I had studied out all the different kind of offerings in Leviticus and all that. Leviticus 7 and some others talk specifically about thank offerings, and there are specific rules about what all they had to do, just how to offer them and who could eat them and all that kind of stuff. I'm not trying to establish anything like that for the church, going back to the old law or anything, but there was a principle behind the ritual. I mean, we have contributions. Those should come from a grateful heart. I need to check myself on this one, because since I'm always translating and doing all this, whatever, lights and sound stuff or whatever, I usually turn my contribution in before service. And then it's like, it can be like when the contribution's being passed, I'm not even really thinking about it. But I should be thinking about how grateful I am for what God has given me, the material blessings and all the many other blessings. And, you know, that's why we do that during worship, because when we give that money, we should be thinking about what we're grateful for to God. And it should be something that we're doing as an expression of gratitude. And then it is part of worship. And this principle doesn't have to apply to just contribution or giving financially, although perhaps, you know, I mean, we make it a point to express our gratitude when people do something nice. Many of us make it a point to, like, give a gift or something in expression of gratitude. Why don't we do that with God? Maybe we should. Again, I'm not trying to set up a rule, but I was convicted about it. Maybe I should give something extra, you know, when God does something awesome like that. Or just doing something. Serving. I mentioned this a while back, but it always stuck with me, something that Alan told me about when people that serve, you know, ushers and all these things, it's part of their worship. You know, sometimes it feels like, you know, you're running around, but we need to think about it as, hey, I'm serving God. I'm expressing my gratitude to God in what I'm doing. And I think if we want to find the most grateful people, I think we should look among the ones that are serving people all the time. That's where you're going to find them. Because it just comes out naturally. When you're grateful, you don't think about the sacrifice or whatever. You just want to serve. You want to serve God and you want to serve other people. Because you know great things have been done for you that you didn't deserve. Look in Psalm 65. Psalm 65, this is David again. Obviously, David was a grateful person. He should have been. God certainly blessed him. And it says, praise awaits you, O God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer. Here's that again. To you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God our Savior. The hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. Another great psalm. And then give specific reasons for praise. Answer prayer again. Forgiveness of sins and provision of crops. And very vivid images of abundance. And, of course, daily bread. You know, we may not necessarily be a farming society, but God provides. I ask you to make a list of 100 things. We need to be specific in our gratitude to God. I personally specifically decided not to put anything material In fact, I decided to do a, we should be grateful for the material things, though, but that's just something I wanted to do. So I made a list of 100 spiritual blessings, things like the Bible, answered prayer, heaven, the cross, repentance, forgiveness, and on, 100 things. I slowed down right around 60. I had to start thinking about it some more. Then I wrote down 100 people that are not in this church that I was grateful for. Then 100 people in this church that I'm grateful for. It's a great exercise. Because it makes you just go, wow. And that was the general way I was feeling. Wow, God is good. We know that intellectually. But, you know, we need to think about how good He is. It's awesome to be a disciple of Jesus. That's how it made me feel. And that's how we should always feel. And that's what gratitude makes you feel. Look in Psalm 32. I left perhaps the most important reason for gratitude for last. Perhaps without it, we wouldn't be here. It says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Forgiveness of sins. If that's not the greatest gift, I mean, we have nothing without it. Verse 3 to 5 talk about confession and the guilt that David felt when he didn't do it. We hate the thought of it. And this is a sermon really for another time, but have you ever been sorry afterwards when you finally confessed your sin and just got it out and dealt with it? I mention it because it's liberating. And God has truly freed us from sin, and we should be grateful. I mean, I think about just second chances, or, you know, if I could count, they really would be like 1,000, you know, whatever, how, probably one for each day or more that I've been a Christian. That's 15 years, almost 16 in my case, and that's a lot of days. That's a lot of sin. Repentance is a blessing. It's, you know, challenging and all that sometimes, but it's a blessing. Imagine if you got baptized and then you're not supposed to sin anymore. None of us would be here. To continually be given the opportunity to change, to grow, to learn, to be better, to be more like Jesus. It's a blessing. It's awesome. It's refreshing. And it should motivate us, like it did David as well in verse 8. To teach others about God's love, to share the forgiveness that we've received and let others enjoy it as well, because it's unlimited. You know, it's not gonna, It's not going to wear away because more people get forgiven. It's just God's love is infinite. And we should share it. Look in Psalm 40. Again, David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you've done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Isn't that true? I think we could all say that. Echo David's sentiment. I think about my conversion. We should do that often. That's a lot about what having communion is all about. I mean, certainly we want to remember what Jesus did, what he did on the cross. But a lot of it is making it personal. What Jesus did for you, what Jesus did for me, specifically. I mean, it may not be pleasant sometimes, but the slimy pit, the mud and the mire, where would we be? Where would I be without God? What would I be enslaved to? I know at least some of the things. What mess would I be getting into? I don't want to think about that one. It wouldn't be good. I know the way I was going. I was headed the way of the world. The bad things that we see in the world, the divorce, the abuse, the troubled kids, I would have been a participant in probably all of that and then some. And it's important to remember those things, to think about what God has saved us from and how much better being a disciple is and how much better God's way is. The firm place to stand, the new song in my mouth, the freedom, the hope of eternal life, the great marriage, the hope I have for my kids. I mean, I think about how much they love God already. My son is in chapter like 38 or something. He's into Joseph now, which is, he's fired up because it's the last main character in Genesis. So he feels like he's getting to the end there. But, you know, it's just awesome having a life of purpose that means more than just going to work and just over and over surviving and nothing happening. Living for something that can outlast you, that's eternal, that keeps going beyond the grave. Are we grateful for those things? It says, many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you've done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Too many to declare. But we need to try to declare them. We need to think about what God has done on purpose and be grateful. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I've enjoyed teaching the Psalms class. I believe next week we're doing a new series on the Sermon on the Mount. So that concludes the Bible class portion of the service. If your kids are in class, go get them and come back.